Praise the Lord. John chapter 5, verse 19. This Jesus gave them this answer. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by itself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Hallelujah. I don't understand where he got this from. And it can only be from his Father. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's left for you to understand who his Father is. Amen. Happy Children's Day to you all. To the young ones that think they are the only children, and to us that we are other people's children. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we've set aside today to celebrate the children, and that's why you see them running the service in the way that we've been running it. And that's not to take away the God factor in whatever we are doing. And it's very, very obvious that if your child, if you train your child in the way of the Lord, okay, then he will not depart from it. Because the things that they begin to imbibe from this time onward, it will be with them. Hallelujah. Amen. And I purposely read the fact that scripture to you, that whatever the Son says, the Father do is what he does. Amen. So if you make Jesus the object of your focus, okay, whatever you see him do is what you do. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, and I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Hallelujah. So if he's speaking to us by his Son in this present age and time, then we ought to look at the Son, okay, and see what the lifestyle of the Son is. And one of the things that the Son also made mention of while he was here is what was read to us by Temiloluwa in Matthew chapter 19. The NKJV says, this little verse from verse 13, I read 15, Matthew 19, it says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Okay, so the parents of the children brought them to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But then the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So he says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you look at the New Living Translation, it says the same, Matthew 19, 13 to 14. The New Living Translation says, one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Amen. So the New NKJV says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says in the New Living Translation, it gives clarity. It says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Amen. And he was trying to, while he was speaking, he was trying to make us align our thoughts towards why Christ said that, what are the attributes that adults should desire in children. That's what he was trying to ask us. Amen. And one key thing that I know is that once it takes a while for children to trust, okay? No matter how short it is, but once they trust you, amen, it's difficult for you to take that trust off, except you break the trust. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in some other, if you look at some other attributes, One of them, which is also about curiosity, okay? Children are always probing. Amen. So, on Friday, I was told to speak to. I should ask the questions. So on Friday, I was told to speak to a group of students, and then on Monday, I was told that please develop slides. Let's explain what you do in this office. Some students are coming. So in my mind, they were probably from the university or those on industrial attachment. So I was beginning to build up. I was beginning to build up the slides in a very technical manner. And then Wednesday afternoon, eventually forwarded me the mail that they had been circulating. And then they said, and I was just curious about, okay, let me just be sure that I was doing the right thing. Number one, what's the title of what I'm supposed to speak to these children about? And then number two, who is my audience? So when I saw it, I saw that they were going to be primary six children. And I'm like, ah, praise God. And I looked at the things I have here. And then I looked at the fact that they are primary six. I said, how on earth am I going to be able to pass this across to them? Amen. And then I just suddenly remembered, I have some industrial attachment students that are working with me. I just told them, I said, look, everything I've taught you, put it in five slides for me. Okay? I need to speak to primary six children. So everything I taught them, so they came up and I told them I need it this evening. Because it was already, I think I had a day to go. So I said I need it this evening. So that if at all I need to make any amendments, I'll have been able to do it. So they sent it to me, 9:30 PM, they sent it to me. And then I said, no, go back and do this. And thankfully, I just thank God that I actually told them. Because when they came up with the slides, they put somebody like Super Ted. They put somebody, you know, those colorful things. I said, oh, thank God, I thank you. And then they did everything. I said, add this and add that. And then in the morning, I was talking to my children, and I'm very curious. That's why I started this story. So don't get carried away with the story. I said, they are very curious. So when the time came, and I launched the slides, and I was talking to them. In all sincerity, I did not expect that they would be following. Because they were just fidgeting. You know, this one, this one. The one who just raised his hand, sir, you just said that if I switch off data, I will not receive anything on my phone. But at home, I did this, I did that, and it was still working. I looked at him, I said, what did you say? I was processing it. And then he said it again. Then another one came up with a question. And I said, okay, these things that you are talking about, if you relate it to your, I was forming a generation. I said, you know what? We have self-driven bicycles that can drive. You can send your bicycle to the supermarket, buy whatever you want to buy, and tell the supermarket to load your bicycle and bring it back home. Actually, that's the whole essence of this 5G, that's the whole essence of it, so that you can have all those automation. And then one boy looked at me. I said, sir, isn't that dangerous? He said, sir, isn't that dangerous? I said, how? He said, because who will know? The bicycle is on the road. And then I started breaking it down to him again. I said, look, and that's why I said it's a whole connected world. Okay, so by the time we are sending a bicycle, everybody understands that this bicycle is self-driven and all that. I said, but people can hack that bicycle, and then it will not come back to you. And I give up. I said, why? I understand that they can hack it. But then, that's the security part of the system. So, now, they were curious. And in their curiosity, they were bringing the one I didn't want to tell them, that I thought, they are children now. Yeah, there's too much. They were bringing it out for me. So, there was a particular slide. I said, And I took them to, luckily, I had a slide there that talked about security. And I took them to that slide that had security. And one boy just said, sir. I said, what is it? And I said, this one that you wrote here, this one. I said, what is it? How do you identify a fake website? Because it was there. Now, don't click on fake websites. And I was so impressed that, you know what? They didn't just come to see those things. They really came in quest of knowledge. And the things that they were not able to align with, okay, that was not aligning with what they know or with what they understood before coming, they were asking those questions. And that's one of the things that you should cherish in children, and that children should know that they have and they can make use of. Hallelujah. It's not all the time that we move around. And it's not all the time that, I mean, it will look to us that, what's all this? Because if you see the boy that asked me the question, the guy was sitting like this. And then when he raised his hand, he did like this. So, and I was like, okay, so what's this guy going to say? And when he opened his mouth to speak, amen. Hallelujah. It's important. As adults, let's not forget that childlike attitude. He says, of such is the kingdom of God. Amen. And so this morning, were you all at Bible school this morning? Is that one that says I should give you an exam? So, were you all at Bible school this morning? So, how old was Josiah when he started raining? He was 8. Amen. Do you know that when it started raining, and when what we read in 2 Kings chapter 23, in 22 is where you see that we started reading. What you read in 23, I think 23 verse 25, was the fact that there was no king before him that was like that, and there was none after him. Another person the Bible records something about was King Solomon. Hallelujah. It says there's no king that has demonstrated such wisdom before and after. Hallelujah. But this particular king, said the Bible records, can you give us 22 verse 1? Amen. Okay, when you get it, let me know. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He was 8 years old when he became king. So when we go back to 23:25, it says, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Amen. These are times, I need you to listen. My own principal has king. All this one they teach you in school that they don't beat you. Hallelujah. He says that there was no king before him and there was none after him. Okay? But if you look at between verse 1 and verse 23, okay, he talked about the fact that everything that was not godly, that was against what he knew about God, he pulled down. And he would dare to say that this, he was going to stand up and say, this is not supposed to be. Hallelujah. And those are the things that as we are grooming and raising all of you, whether you are on my right or you are in front or you are in the audience, as we are teaching you these things, those are the things you ought to hold on to. Amen. Because as you go into the world, amen, as you go, you mix with people. I mean, I told you before, there was when they were in primary school, they said the children should dress to school like their hero. So ordinarily, you'll have expected that somebody will come to school like a Superman, somebody will come to school like a Batman, Abby, somebody will come to school like Barbie, a Spider-Man. Have you seen that Spider-Man that is plucking a fur? I'll send it to you on Outreach. You see Spider-Man that is busy helping in the kitchen. So, and then one boy came to school and he had a tattoo on his arm for dress like your hero. So that was it. He just wrote something. He had an image that was drawn on his arm. And then when the educators were talking to the child and they were asking him, so where is your costume and all that? He said, I'm dressed like my hero. How? You now show them the tattoo. And then they were confused. Some parents saw it. Some were happy. Some were not happy. All right? Are you listening to me? Some were happy. Some were not happy. So I was summoned to the school I was asked to come to the school by the head of school because I was their PTA chairman. And he said, this is what we just saw in school today. And he said that when she asked that the mother of the child came to school and the mother was very furious. You people asked him to dress like his hero. and he was dressed like his father. Hallelujah. I said, what? So then the woman said, so this head of school was confused that, what is this dressed like his father that we people are talking? I'm saying that this boy has a tattoo, that he had a tattoo on his hand that was not there before. The woman said, apparently, the woman said, oh, that's on his, on the same arm of his father, there's a tattoo. Hallelujah. Amen. And at that point in time, there was already a problem in school. Because some parents were saying, we sent our children to school to emulate. Now, I don't know what was drawn on the tattoo or whatever. But because everybody has his own set of principles and policies, you do not want your children to do certain things. Hallelujah. Especially when you have brought them up. Okay? So, for instance, I know that if you do tattoos, okay, you are not able to, even when you go to hospitals, you are not able to donate blood. Abi, do you know? You are not able to donate blood. So you say that you want to do anything, you are not able to donate blood. If your family has a problem and you are the only one that is able, you are not able to do anything because you have already, and the simple fact is that they say that when you do tattoo, there is, in the ink, there's some metallic component of the ink that goes into your bloodstream and makes you just, I mean, so I just told you, I said, madam, I don't know how you do this. God will help you. Because one side is saying, we don't want to see it. Another side is saying, what's wrong with it? Amen. But God's standard is God's standard. And you have to understand that. God's standard is God's standard. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me look for it. Now you should not tattoo your body. It's in Leviticus. I just don't know. I think it's chapter 3 or something. It's as simple as that. So, but the Bible says we should train you guys in the way that you should go. Hallelujah. When you are being corrected, it is not a sign of wickedness. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you are being flogged, in quotes, it is not a sign of wickedness. When I was growing up, my mother beat the living daylight out of me. Because number one, don't do it is what I would do. Say, don't go there. When she's not around, I'll say, I'll go there. When she comes back, say, did you go there? So no, I said, I'll just tell her, no, I just peeped. Say, ha. So she said, did you peep from here to where Mr. Sajay, or you went there? You know, all those things. And down the line, I discovered that everything that they were asking us not to do when we were growing up did not, maybe it didn't really matter at that point. But when I got further down, the tertiary schools, in university, everything, everything, and even up to now, sometimes I sit down and laugh, say, oh, no wonder Mama used to tell me that don't do this, don't do this. Amen. Because they expect, because when your parents are working with God and in the right frame of mind, they expect you also to do the same. Hallelujah. And when you see that they are not following God, you also have the responsibility of being able to say and ask questions in a very polite manner that this thing you're doing, is it consistent with what you yourself have taught me? Hallelujah. Amen. So when I'm driving my children and we approach traffic light, I stay on the lane. And then one day I discovered that everybody that was shunting was always like 3-4 minutes ahead. And I'm like, okay, children, this is the right thing to do. Stay on this lane and follow this light. But you can see that even the road, what do you call these guys? The people that control traffic, they're even supporting the people that are shunting. So when you shunt, they will always say, okay, stay, stay, stay. Then you'll be the first one that they'll pass. I say, so that means that it's not wrong. But when you see the traffic light, don't go. Hallelujah. And then if you make a mistake, it'll be a problem. But be sure to point out the right things to them. Another attribute of children I want us to look at is the fact that if you look at in the book of Genesis, when God was going to create man, he said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. And then he said, go and do what? Replenish the earth. Abi? Hallelujah. And you subdue it. Amen. Children are very imaginative and creative. I have not seen children between the age of 1 and 16 that you can cage not to allow him to be creative. If you think you have been able to suppress them, that they are not, they won't show you their creativity. Hallelujah. They will show other people what they can do. Amen. Because it is an attribute of God that he has put in human beings, and we as adults always find a way to suppress that part of us. That creative aspect. Amen. And you cannot be bought like your father. Hallelujah. It says that the invisible attributes of God, they are seen through what? Creation. Hallelujah. So if you want to look at invisible attributes of God, go to the mountainside. You wonder how he is able to weave all these things together, and you begin to plot things in place. Amen. Hallelujah. Children are dependent and they need guidance. Hallelujah. Amen. They are dependent and they need guidance. And that's why the Bible also encourages us, okay, that we should take all our burdens and lay it at his feet. Because we have to be dependent on God, not on the things that we know. Amen. So when they come, when children come and approach you, okay, it's because they need guidance. Hallelujah. If you push them away, they will seek guidance in another. And it's the first one that responds that they will take to. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the first one that responds. Okay? And that's why Christ said, he said in Matthew 19 that we read, said, suffer them not, let them come. Okay? For such is the kingdom of heaven. Because as a child, you are easily moldable. Hallelujah. Amen. As a child, we are moldable. So when we are reading the scriptures and we are dealing with scriptures, and you see that God parted the Red Sea, and then suddenly somebody comes and tells you that it was a great wind, you are not going to be dissuaded. Hallelujah. You know, that's what is happening. Everybody's taking the scripture now and trying to find a way to counter it. And I just laugh. Even the people that are on the pulpit are supposed to help the ones that do not know, that think they know. They are also doing the same thing. They will come criticize, because you see, look, God doesn't need our help to be accepted. Hallelujah. He doesn't. He has said it, that if man refuses, he will raise the stones. But you see, some people want to score a point, and then the things that are in the scripture, okay, they look at it and then they criticize it. The other day, one man was trying to talk about speaking in tongues, and I was just like, God, help this man, because he was making a mockery of it. And yet he was in church. Amen. If we would depend on anything, children need, once they get that trust and you're able to build it up, hallelujah, they don't need your help. They also need your help to destroy it if you are not careful. If you don't live the life that you ought to live and you are doing things on the opposite direction, they will wonder and say, what is this problem? Why are you doing these things? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this one is very sensitive. Children, they often speak their minds without a filter. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no barrier, no gauge to what they say. Amen. They will say it the way they see it. Hallelujah. And it's honesty. So if they are confused, they will tell you. If they think otherwise, they will tell you. The only one they will not say is when they do something wrong. That's the only one they will not say. When they do something wrong, everybody will be quiet. And when everybody's quiet, you know that there's something wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's simplicity in children and simplicity in God. Amen. So if two children are having an argument right now and they involve their parents, the parents will escalate that argument. The children will leave the parents there, and then they'll become friends, and then the parents will keep arguing. Are you getting what I'm saying? They deal with situations on the spot at that moment, and then they move on. But they need the help of adults to keep malice. Because someone say, you shouldn't listen to him. Why did he do that? You should go back and tell him what. No. They will deal with situations just as it is. Amen. And the Lord will help us. Hallelujah. So as we celebrate these children, it's not about jumping up and clapping. It's about looking deeper and saying, have we laid the right foundation? Are we giving them the right framework to build up upon, especially as they grow up in the things of God? Hallelujah. So are they praying? Are they depending on God for the things that they are doing? And are they seeking the face of God in everything that they are doing? Whether you are there or not, it's very important. Hallelujah. It's very important. This morning when we woke up, around 7 a.m., he brought his book, he brought his leg, someone knows to me. And I was smiling. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I should look at it. I said, is your sermon note? I said, okay. I looked at it. I said, but you cannot just say these few things. He said, yes, that he has some other things. He just wanted to add this one. I said, fine. Amen. This is all right. But this one and this one, you need to merge it together because it's the same point. Don't say things are right. But I did not see those notes until 7 a.m. this morning. And I did not spend 3 minutes with them, with those notes. I just said, do this and do this. Because I believe and I know that God is in it. Amen. And we have to get them to that point where they are solely reliant on God. Amen. It's very important. We will not be there all the time. Hallelujah. But God is omnipresent. And he's omniscient. So even as we celebrate, we have to have it at the back of our mind that the things that he says, I do the things that I see my Father do. Hallelujah. And your first point of call is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as parents, Psalm 127. Verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the gate. He says, they are a gift from the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you honor the gifts from God, God will in return honor you. We are custodians, and be a good custodian of these children. Let us rise to our feet. Let's thank God and give him praise. Let's just pray intentionally for all the children in this assembly, all the children in this ministry, Total World Ministries International, that even as we gather them and we teach them Bible school, children's school, Bible club, as we teach them God's ways, that it is evident in their lives. Hallelujah. They are the head and not the tail. The things that will come out of them will be the things that the Lord has deposited on the inside of them. Not everything from them will be productive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will grow in wisdom and stature, just like the boy Jesus. He says he grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in favor with God and with man. And theirs is not going to be different. Even whether they are they're in their babyhood, or their toddlers, or their teenagers, or their adolescents, or any age at all that they are, and their steps, as they take their steps in God, you will order their steps. The path will keep getting brighter and brighter, and we will all come together, even to celebrate them. And they will do much more than we are able to do, hallelujah, because their hearts and their souls will be so open and receptive to God that indeed it will make them his hand tool in Jesus' name. As they've sung this morning, hallelujah, and as we sing that song, it says there is no going back, hallelujah, and it's just an affirmative declaration. There is no going back because they have found Christ, and so shall it be. You will not get to a point that they will be tired of this gospel. You will not not get to a point that they will be tired of following Jesus. Neither will it be, will the parents also be tired, hallelujah. But rather, we'll find joy digging out the best of God on a daily basis in their lives in Jesus' name. As they go to school, as they go, the wisdom of God will engulf them. The Spirit of the Lord will fill up their cavities. Hallelujah. And they will display the righteousness of God in all manners in Jesus' name. They will be the head and not the tail. And in their academic work and in the things that they will do in future, it will be so clear to them. Their purpose will be defined by the present grace of God. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.